Hello, and welcome to your OCR GCSE Sociology Study Podcast. I'm here to guide you through one of the most fascinating topics in the education unit, school organization and culture. Now, you might be thinking, what's the big deal about how schools are organized? But here's the thing. This topic is absolutely crucial for understanding why students from different social backgrounds achieve such different outcomes. And examiners love this topic because it lets you demonstrate both your knowledge of key sociological studies and your ability to evaluate internal versus external factors affecting achievement. Today, we're going to explore the hidden curriculum, teacher labeling, streaming and setting, and pupil subcultures. By the end of this podcast, you'll have the knowledge and exam techniques you need to tackle any question on this topic with confidence. So let's dive in. Let's start with a concept that's absolutely essential: the hidden curriculum. Now, this is not about secret lessons or conspiracy theories. The hidden curriculum refers to all the norms, values, and behaviors that schools transmit to students outside of the formal, official national curriculum. Think about it. When you're at school, you're not just learning maths, English, and science. You're also learning to be punctual, to respect authority, to accept hierarchy, to compete with your peers. These are the unwritten rules of school life. Marxist sociologists like Bowles and Gintis argue that the hidden curriculum prepares working-class students for their future roles in a capitalist workforce, teaching them obedience, compliance, and acceptance of inequality. That's a really powerful idea for your essays. Now, let's talk about teacher labeling. This is where Howard Becker's research from 1971 becomes essential. Becker interviewed 60 Chicago high school teachers and found that they judged pupils based on how closely they matched the teacher's idea of the ideal pupil. Middle-class students were more likely to be labeled as bright, motivated, and well-behaved, while working-class students were more likely to be labeled as troublemakers or less able. Here's where it gets really interesting. These labels can become self-fulfilling prophecies. Let me explain the cycle. First, the teacher forms an expectation about a student. Second, the teacher treats that student differently based on that expectation, giving more praise and attention to students labeled as bright and more criticism to those labeled as less able. Third, the student internalizes that label and starts to see themselves that way. Fourth, the student's behavior changes to match the expectation. And fifth, the expectation is confirmed and the cycle continues. This is absolutely crucial for explaining class differences in achievement. If working-class students are more likely to be negatively labeled, they're more likely to underachieve, not because of their actual ability, but because of how they're treated and how they come to see themselves. Now let's clear up a common confusion, the difference between streaming and setting. This trips up so many candidates in the exam, so listen carefully. Streaming means students are placed in the same ability group across all subjects. So if you're in the top stream, you're in the top group for maths, English, science, everything, you stay with the same group of students all day. Setting means students are placed in different ability groups for each subject. So you might be in the top set for maths, the middle set for English, and the top set for science again. You're regrouped for each subject based on your ability in that specific area. Stephen Ball's 1981 study of Beachside Comprehensive found that when the school abolished streaming and introduced mixed ability teaching, the formation of anti-school subcultures declined. This shows how school organization directly shapes student behavior and attitudes. Speaking of subcultures, let's talk about how students respond to labeling and streaming. David Hargreaves identified two main types of pupil subcultures in his 1967 study. Pro-school subcultures are formed mainly by students in higher streams who have been positively labeled. These students value academic success, respect authority, follow school rules, and gain status from their achievements. They conform to the school's values. Anti-school subcultures, on the other hand, are formed mainly by students in lower streams who have been negatively labeled. These students reject academic values, challenge authority, invert school norms, so what the school sees as bad behavior they see as cool, and they gain status from their peer group rather than from teachers or exam results. Paul Willis's classic 1977 study, Learning to Labor, followed a group of working-class boys, the lads, who formed an anti-school subculture. They saw schoolwork as pointless and feminine, they valued having a laugh, and they looked forward to manual jobs like their fathers. Willis argued this was a form of resistance to middle-class values, but it also ensured they ended up in working-class jobs, reproducing class inequality. Right. Let's talk about how to use this knowledge in the exam. OCR questions on this topic typically ask you to explain, evaluate, or discuss the impact of internal school factors on achievement. First, a really common mistake. Do not describe the hidden curriculum as secret lessons. Examiners will not give you credit for that. You need to define it as the transmission of norms and values outside the formal curriculum, things like hierarchy, obedience, punctuality, and acceptance of authority. Second, when you're discussing labeling, you must link the teacher's perception to the student's reaction. Don't just say, "Teachers label students." Explain how the label affects the student's self-concept and behavior. Use the term self-fulfilling prophecy and explain the cycle. That's how you access the higher mark bands for AO2, application and analysis. Third, always cite specific studies. Generic statements like "teachers treat students differently" will only get you into the lower levels. But if you write "Becker's 1971 study of Chicago teachers found that middle-class students were more likely to be labeled as the ideal pupil," you're demonstrating AO1 knowledge and you're much more likely to hit the top mark bands. Fourth, for evaluation, you need to consider the limitations of focusing only on internal factors. Yes, labeling and streaming matter, but what about external factors like material deprivation, cultural capital, and parental attitudes? The best answers will weigh up internal versus external factors and reach a balanced judgment. Use phrases like, "While internal factors such as teacher labeling clearly play a role, external factors like cultural deprivation may be equally significant." And finally, for 12 mark questions, use the PE structure. Point, evidence from a study or concept, explanation of how this affects achievement, and evaluation or counterargument. This structure will keep your answer focused and analytical. Okay, let's test your knowledge with some quick-fire questions. Pause the podcast after each question and see if you can answer without looking at your notes. Question 1. What is the hidden curriculum? Question 2. Name the sociologist who studied teacher labeling and the ideal pupil. Question 3. What's the difference between streaming and setting? Question 4. Name the two types of pupil subcultures identified by Hargreaves. Question 5. Which sociologist studied the lads and wrote Learning to Labor? How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. If not, go back and review those sections. Let's recap the key points. School organization and culture are internal factors that significantly affect student achievement. The hidden curriculum transmits norms and values beyond the formal curriculum. Teacher labeling based on class-based assumptions about the ideal pupil can create self-fulfilling prophecies. Streaming and setting can polarize students into pro-school and anti-school subcultures. And these processes help explain class differences in educational achievement. Remember, in the exam, you need to cite specific studies: Becker, Ball, Hargreaves, Willis, and you need to evaluate by considering external factors as well. Use the PE structure for longer questions and always link teacher expectations to student outcomes. Thank you so much for listening. Keep practicing those exam questions, and remember, understanding how schools work as organizations is key to understanding educational inequality. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next podcast.